So where is the labour force going to come from to build houses and infrastructure? There were a few relevant discussions during the week. The National Training Fund was up for discussion in the Dáil, as was the subject of apprenticeships at the Further and Higher Education Committee on Wednesday. Although housing commencement figures announced this week were up on last month, they're down on this time last year, and construction is at its slowest pace since 2022. So who's going to build the homes and infrastructure we need? We're not doing a wider housing debate today. We're going to stick to the issue of labour force supply that the committee was looking at. We're going to hear first from Ben Friel from AMLE, that's the Student Representative Organisation, speaking to the Committee on Further and Higher Education.
If I ask you to picture an apprentice, some of you might think of an 18-year-old training as an electrician. Others might think of a 35-year-old mother retraining for the benefit of her family, or someone doing a great degree apprenticeship. All of these are correct. Apprentices come from every walk of life with different goals and different needs. The cost of their own tools and travel, and sometimes accommodation for training placements. A basic electrician toolbox costs €1,000. And on the high-risk apprentice minimum wage of £7.16 per hour, that requires about 140 hours of work. Nearly a month's wages. Before rent, food or travel. These are not abstract figures. They're real choices. Some apprentices put tools on credit cards and spend years paying them off. Others rely on family support, which not everyone has. Many turn to second-hand tools, and that creates a bigger imbalance. It's not just the cost of tools. Travel to training centres, childcare for older apprentices, even protective clothing add further strain.
All right, and that was Ben Friel from AMLE. Aontas na Mhaclainn in Éireann speaking there. Marian Harkin, to you first. If 80,000 apprentices or extra labourers are needed, and they're going to have to be apprentices originally, how are they going to be incentivised to sign up to apprenticeships? Do they need to be paid more over and above the 7 to 8 euro an hour they're currently getting and be paid the minimum wage?
Well, first of all, can I say, Colm, in budget 2026, an additional 79 million was invested for apprenticeship delivery, which brings the total amount invested to 411. And that's over a 100% increase what was there from when the department was founded. Now, there are certainly issues, and I heard your speaker there earlier about, let's say, training allowances that some apprenticeships are paid. But we are looking particularly, for example, at students with disabilities. There was an additional 2 million investment to expand that fund so that those students could access apprenticeships. The REACH Fund, which increases participation of, you know, learners in disadvantaged areas, is now at over 4.5 million euro. And of course, 2.5 million was invested in this budget to reduce the student contribution. Okay, so none of this is perfect, I understand that, but more and more supports are being put in place to try and increase the number of apprenticeships.
Okay, well, we put a call out to our listeners to see if anybody was the parent of an apprentice or indeed an apprentice themselves. And a couple of case studies have come back via the text messaging and the emails. I appreciate you haven't had a previous sight of these, but just let me put one that seems pretty typical of what we heard at the committee there. My son was taken on as an apprentice carpenter. He's 6 months in. He's done about 2 weeks of carpentry. Essentially, he's labouring for about €250 a week in a country with a minimum wage of €14.50 per hour. He leaves at 7 a.m. in the morning and works till 5. He's living at home. We don't take any rent for him. He's saving for a car. For people without that support, I don't know how they're managing.
Well, look, there is a schedule for all the different phases of apprenticeships. When somebody, you know, has an employer and then you go to phase two, phase four. And in truth, Colm, sometimes there can be delays. But this year, we put in a great deal of money to make sure that the delays largely caused by COVID are now out of the system so that those who want to continue to phase two, which is the off-the-job training in their ETB and very often their local ETB, or if they're further on that want to go to phase four or phase six in their local, hopefully, higher education institutes, that those opportunities are there from them. It's not fully streamlined. I'd be lying to you if I said it was, but a lot of investment and money
And you've made that point. I might come back to you on the issue of how local those offsite hours are in a moment. But to you first on that, Sinead Gibney, are you advocating for the payment of the minimum wage to apprentices? And if so, Who should bear the cost of that?
So that's something we're looking at the moment as a party in light of these discussions in recent weeks. But I think one thing that's really important to say is that it's not just minimum wage or not. It's difficult to live anyway. So regardless of the changes that could be made to bringing apprenticeship rates up to minimum wage, you have the situation, for example, where you might be studying in Dublin, but your apprenticeship placement is in Donegal. So what are the supports that we're providing for people to do that? And then the broader issue of college just not being, or further and higher education, just not being available or accessible to people who aren't living at home, essentially, at the moment, because that's the broader issue.
We'll keep it in the realms of apprenticeship at the moment, but as it stands at the moment, your party hasn't made up its mind as to whether or not apprentices should be paid the national minimum wage.
Exactly, that's something we're just looking at the moment.
Roger O'Gorman, on that particular issue, the national minimum wage to apprentices, does the Green Party have a policy on that?
I believe they should be paid the national minimum wage. I also recognise that a change like that does have impact in terms of employers. So we're doing some more work in terms of ensuring that the balance of that extra payment is shared.
What's your concern there that it would be paid ultimately by the purchasers of houses, is it?
No, because we've seen how it has been argued in other sectors how improvements to staff pay is seen as a disincentive to further employment by employers, and we don't want to see that impact in terms of apprenticeship. Can we just come back here? Because it is important that people signing up to apprenticeships do see that their work has value. And your own correspondent there who texted in showed the level of work that young people are doing in these processes. And it must be incredibly dispiriting to see this level of work being done without a fair wage being paid in respect of it.
Before I get back to Marian Harkin, the areas in which apprentices are being trained, investment, say, in retrofitting is one area that would incentivise apprentices to go into that. Is that at the correct level, in your opinion?
Well, Sulis's strategy for the green transition addressed that particular issue, and it showed that we do need to continue to support additional apprentices going into to those particular trades. And there's also, I think, a little bit of work that has to be done about the curriculum in some of these areas, because it's not it's not taking account of changes in terms of retrofit, in terms of heat pumps, in terms of solar panels, that the skills that are the current kind of the up-to-date skills that are needed may not be fully represented in existing curriculums, and that needs to change.
People talk, Marian Harkin, about this issue of the esteem that's afforded to apprentices, and that they're kind of framing it in terms of whether or not it's as desirable a choice as the CAO. But the level of esteem that's given to people on site and the work they're doing seems to be coming up from our text. We have another text in there. My son has been taken on as an apprentice plumber. He's 3 months in with no registration, but practically a labourer at €8.55 an hour. No pressure on the employer to register him. College place not available. No facility to check if employers are registered. So, the net point being people are going in good faith to get an apprenticeship, and then they're being effectively used as cheap labour in some instances.
Look, there certainly might be individual cases, but there was a survey recently of apprenticeships, a national survey, and believe it or not, Colm, 87% reported that they were enjoying their apprenticeship experience, and 94% believe that apprenticeship could provide them with good employment.
What stage of the apprenticeship was that survey conducted at?
It was across all stages of the apprenticeship. But what I would say is that, for example, I know the engineering sector have an issue, and because the fact that they have that, I've requested that the training allowance for apprenticeships working in the engineering sector are reviewed as a priority. And I think it's important to say, you see, you have off the job and you have on the job.
Well, seeing as you mentioned off the job, I mean, at the beginning of the life of this government, travel and subsistence was an issue where, people who became junior ministers could retain their TD, travel and subsistence. And in an area like that, you're looking at apprentices who have to travel across the country. We heard at the committee during the week from Sligo to Dundalk or from Waterford to Dundalk or from Sligo to Dublin to do their off-site hours. I mean, does that need to be looked at hard if people are going to have to get their own accommodation and their own travel for the duration of their off-site hours?
The training allowance for apprenticeships working in the engineering sector are being reviewed as a priority. But it's also important to say, off-the-job training receive a fortnightly state training allowance, and that is aligned with industry minimum wage rates. And that's agreed through collective bargaining, and it varies depending on the phase. I mean, phase two perhaps is low, but phase four increases and phase six is much higher.
Okay, just, I'll go to Sinead, give me this. 79 million in the recent budget. Are things going in the right direction? Do you accept what Marion Harkin is saying there?
I think it's been really welcome to see over previous holders of this department and indeed in Marion's time now that apprenticeships are being better funded and better regarded, I think, and compared to higher education opportunities. I do think we still need to sell and advertise to young people better and to parents. But I would also say that the moving parts of all this have to be addressed as well. So, for example, in this week's Education Committee, I think there was a discussion around the Leaving Cert reform. But the Leaving Cert reform would have been a great opportunity to do exactly that, and they failed to do it. And then another headline, just one other piece, just in terms of the construction placements, is that there was a headline today that in the journal that there is a modular home company being shut down because of lack of demand from the government. So we have to think about the actual housing crisis response as well as the construction.
I think we have to recognise that young people are reluctant to take on significant debt at that particular age, and the fact that young people going into these trades are actually being expected to fork out so much up front for major pieces of equipment has to be seen as a disincentive there. And I think there's more that we can do there using some of that money. And look, 79 million is a significant extra investment. It builds what was done on the action plan for apprenticeships over the last government. But if some of that money can be used to provide greater upfront to young people taking up these trades, I think that will continue to grow their attractiveness.
All right, Marion Harkin. Colin,
can I just briefly respond to what Sinead said? She talked about modular home industry. Only a few weeks ago, I visited a factory in my own locality in Tubbercurry. It's called Vision Built. They now have over 100 employees. They're involved in 2D and 3D modular builds, and they are increasing their numbers all the time.
Well, so 70 employees are now out of work in County Cavan because of
well,
a
I'm
place
sorry
being
to
shut
hear
down.
About that, but I've just said that those people, that company aims to be top class when it comes to modular builds throughout the country, and they are heading in that direction.
Marion Harkin, we've had a big response to this. We are going to give our final word to the listeners on this. My 30-year-old wants to move from hospitality to building but can't afford to live, pay the rent, food, utilities and travel costs on year one and year two apprenticeship wages. Then there is the issue of no lecturers available in some parts of the country. What are the government doing to make this realistic and meaningful for future for adults, says one texter? And how can you justify giving an apprentice a minimum wage but able to do nothing starting off, says another? But that is our lot. All right, thanks to the panel this afternoon.